you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Thursday, October 13th.
Yeah, it
Field
is.
And Daniel holding down the fort. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save Field. It's Thursday.
We got football tonight, Daniel.
Yes, we do have tonight, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Just going to be you and I today. Mike Clay going to be here for the DFS podcast, audio-only version of the DFS podcast. Unfortunately, today was the last day that Mike had propane for the pool, so he told us he was not going to come in.
It's a tough life he leads.
Pool day.
Very tough life to have to be out in the pool all day, and we're going to also dive into a lot of news. Adam Schefter will be joining us later on. I'll play the role of Mike Clay in our wide receiver cornerback matchup. So if I fail miserably, my bad. If I do great, then Mike, you've officially been put on notice. We're going to talk about the Dolphins a little bit more in depth with Schefty. We'll also talk about the news that we got late in the show yesterday, Daniel. But just before we begin, you know, community of Bristol is an area that's meant a lot to you and I for 10 plus years each now here at ESPN. And unfortunately, it was rocked extremely hard last night in just an awful, awful tragedy that has left two police officers dead, one other severely wounded by a gunman in a senseless attack that hours later, everyone here is still trying to process. I'm not sure we'll ever fully comprehend it. I know that a lot of people that listen to our podcast or are fans of ESPN may not be able to even pinpoint Bristol on a map, but it's a place that, while the town itself is not where Daniel and I call home, it is an area, it is a town that we call our work home, and it's a strong community, one that's been incredibly supportive to ESPN in so many ways. We just want you to know out there, if you are listening, if you're local, if in any way, shape, or form you've been impacted by this, we're thinking of you. God, it was tough driving into work this morning with a procession of some 30 or so police cars. Just a devastating day here in Bristol.
Yeah, really is. And unfortunately, there's no good way for us to be able to transition from that. But part of why you're listening to us, we want to be able to give you the fantasy football that you have, the fun to be able to listen to. And so with that, know that we are thinking about you. We love you guys, and you are on our hearts. We're going to talk about some football, Field Yates, and let's talk with the Miami Dolphins. We got this news a little bit later towards the very end of the show.
Yep.
And so you may have already heard this if you stayed to the very end. Thank you for staying to the very end.
Yes.
If you did not, though, Tyreek Hill is practicing, which is very good news for him coming up this week here in week 6. And it also sounds like Skylar Thompson is going to be getting the start at quarterback. Even if Teddy Bridgewater passes the concussion protocol, he will be a backup on the week. So two big pieces of news that we have for the Miami Dolphins here. How does this impact the way you're looking at the Dolphins here in the week six?
It feels like more of like Skylar Thompson impacts Tyreek Hill more so than the inverse, right?
Yeah.
But still, so good news on Tyreek Hill. This reminds me, this has shades of where we were at when we had Cooper Rush stepping in for Dak Prescott. The idea that like you're still playing Tyreek Hill and still in the same way that you're still playing CeeDee Lamb, or you still were playing CeeDee Lamb, still are playing CeeDee Lamb. You might have, if this is a multi-game appearance here for Skylar Thompson, and it's way too soon to tell, you might have days that are better than others, but you still have to play him. And I know I made the comments yesterday, like in terms of anonymity, Skylar Thompson certainly up there among starting quarterbacks. Right. I think it was okay last week, okay, filling in for the Jets. Again, it's adverse circumstances. He's a third string quarterback who was not expecting to be the starter. It was like the same thing that happened 2 weeks before when Bailey Zappe stepped in for Brian Hoyer early in that Patriots-Packers game. But as we saw last week, Patriots put together a reasonable game plan for Bailey Zappe, and it ended up impacting the offense, I think, you know, positively, right?
Jacob Myers totally
was really
agree.
Good last week. So a glimmer of hope here for Skylar Thompson, but have to certainly lower expectations for Tyreek Hill. And it's been back-to-back bad days for Jalen Waddle. We're hoping that things get back on track for their star wide receiver.
We'll have more with the Dolphins from Adam Schefter here in a little bit. Want to remind you that our buddy Thirsty Kyle, who is so excited to get on mic,
we can hear you right now, Kyle.
With somebody right now in the room, hanging out in our YouTube chat in case you want to get in there. Any questions that you have, Kyle will hold them down for you. So make sure that you got them from Kyle. All right, Field, real quick question for you. We're going to talk about something really quickly coming up, but I want to know, what day is trash day for you and Chapin?
It is Tuesdays in our neighborhood.
Tuesday.
Yep, every Tuesday, yes.
Every Tuesday.
Yep.
See, for me, it's Thursday, and that's how I knew that it was Commanders and Bears Day.
Okay.
Is the kind of game, I'm just going to say this really
quickly. Button up, I'm unbuttoned. I'm letting my hair down a little bit.
I'm just going to say this. This is the sort of game that makes you excited, to be a fantasy player, and maybe you put a little bit of money from a sports book on it, and maybe you decide that you want to order a pizza right as game starts so you have an excuse to get up in the middle of the game when it's so bad so you can talk to somebody else, because this is not going to be everything that you have ever wanted. This is not appointment viewing. However, Bears and Commanders, let's dive into it from the Bears' perspective.
Yeah, this is not Chargers Chiefs.
It's not that.
That's fair. I will say, though, is that, you know, like part of what we do is part of why we do what we do is because we just love football, right? So certainly I will be dialed in tonight and watching the game, and I can't wait to watch the game and all those things. But you're right. Not all games are created equally on Thursday night.
I will also be dialed in while I also have my laptop up watching preseason Pistons basketball. Is that okay for this matchup?
Of course it is. Yeah, only a couple of days left till the NBA season begins. Can't wait for that. Let's talk about the Thursday night game, though. And for the Bears, I don't think there's any major injuries of note. I don't think there's any major injuries of note on either side that's going to impact the availability of the players. We know Carson Wentz has been banged up, but he's going to play tonight.
Yep.
But for the Bears, Daniel, David Montgomery, I think he's been the same player for like three straight years now, right? Yep. Which is a guy's going to get really good volume when he plays, is going to produce about in line with the volume that he gets. Might find the end zone, might be involved in the passing game enough. He's a strong RB2 this week for me. I've got him as RB12 on my board this week. I understand that the rushing yards have been relatively pedestrian. That being said, he was clearly the guy when he came back over Khalil Herbert. There was no splitting of the backfield. Right. And he's got an 18% target share when he's played in three full games this year. So he's involved in the passing game enough. I like Monty here as well.
Me too. Like him quite a bit. All right, here's a question about Darnell Mooney. I'm going to put you to it. The opposing wide receiver one has scored over 17 fantasy points against the Washington Commanders in four of five games this year. Field Yates, are you willing to test your nerve? How lucky do you feel with Darnell Mooney? Because if there was a game where it sort of made sense, this might be it, but it's still a massive dart shot for us.
This is a pass. There is one Bear right now that you're starting. It is David Montgomery, and that's it. The wide receivers will get N'Keal Harry back tonight. Darnell Mooney, as you mentioned, he had a couple of recent flashes, but for the most part, this passing game, I mean, it's the lowest volume passing game in the league by far, is on an historic pace and not in a good way in terms of volume right now. You're avoiding Bears at all costs, unless you are playing in DFS. I'm not saying that there's not a chance for any of them to have a good game. It is just extremely unlikely based off what we have seen through the first 5 weeks of this season. This is a team that wants to win the game by playing good defense, being sound on special teams, and running the football effectively.
Agreed.
It's just the way that the Bears are going to try to win games this year. And what is this quasi, it's retooling, but growing. It's they're not tanking. I'm not sure anybody's tanking the NFL this year, but they're also, like, I just think talent-wise, it's obvious that this is not a team that's equipped to win 12 or 13 games.
Definitely
they're
going
to be frisky. They're going to be kind of, I think they're going to be a better version than what the Texans were last year.
Ooh, okay.
Right? Like, every week they're going to make you earn it, but talent-wise, it's going to catch up to them maybe half the time at least this year.
Sure. All right, let's hang on the other side of that game then with Carson Wentz. For me, I have him as quarterback 15. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
21 or more fantasy points in three games, under 9 fantasy points in the other two. I think my biggest fear here, and the reason why I don't have him listed as a streaming starter this week, is the game script. The idea, like you just said, the Chicago Bears are going to want to run the football. They want to slow the game down. Now with these running backs, who we'll get to in a minute, I think that they're going to want to slow the game down from that standpoint. They want to get Brian Robinson involved. So for me, that upside of this 300-yard multi-touchdown Carson Wentz, like, while it technically still exists, I just don't feel as confident in it this week against Chicago.
Yeah, and part of the reason why Wentz was successful in earlier games this season was games that were so high scoring or games they were playing from a major deficit, right? Week one against Jacksonville, week two against Detroit, really good. The Lions are bad defense, obviously.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
And the Jaguars, that was a weird, funky game where they're playing from behind for a good chunk of it as well.
The Bears, it's
like, you know, 60 minutes per NFL game. The Bears play like 48 minute games, right? It's like, this is like college basketball as opposed to the NBA. Like, it's reduced by 20% because of the glacial pace of the Bears offense. So I'm with you there. And the other thing about Carson Wentz is that, like, sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. Like, you just don't know because he's Carson Wentz. This is multiple years, right? It's Carson Wentz. So it's been several years of not knowing, like, the moments that you want to trust Carson Wentz, he often spurns you. The moments where you don't want to trust Carson Wentz, he'll pull 18 points out of his rear. So I am his quarterback 13. not quite a starter for me, a reasonable streaming option depending on how your quarterback room is constructed, but I would say my confidence is medium in Carson Wentz tonight.
All right, let's talk about these running backs and Fields. I can tell you paid attention to Squirrel Stock up last week, as both you and I have Brian Robinson ranked ahead of Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
In part because the way that the Commanders and Ron Rivera utilized him in his very first game back, and the way that Antonio Gibson continues to take a hit in this offense.
So I don't know exactly what's going to happen this week, but
me either. We don't know that.
No, I should say none of us do, obviously. That being said, like, I don't know if last week is definitely the way that things are going to go going forward, or if last week was just a one game sample size and is going to reverse, where Antonio Gibson ends up leading the team in carries and Brian Robinson basically has no rushing game work tonight. But just look at these things from last week. These are important. Week 5. This is the number of snaps for each of the three running backs.
Yep.
J.D. McKissic, 24.
Okay.
Antonio Gibson, 19.
Okay.
Brian Robinson, 16. Now, obviously, that was a different game. They end up losing that game, and maybe you think they're going to win tonight where they can be in a much more neutral or positive game script, so you might see more of Antonio Gibson and more of Brian Robinson.
A little less of J.D. McKissic.
A little less of J.D. McKissic, but the problem is that you basically have a three-man backfield right now, which is why here are my rankings for these players. J.D. McKissic, 30. Brian Robinson, 34. Antonio Gibson, 37. Which basically means you have to, if you have multiple of them, which I can't imagine many do, but if you have any of them, you're playing and you're rolling the dice in a fairly substantial way. If it's Antonio Gibson, you need him to get 5 catches and not 3. If it's Brian Robinson, you need him to get a touchdown and not 22 rushing yards and 0 targets like last week. Mm-hmm. And if it's McKissic, you need to hope that either they have a couple of drives in which they move fast, or an end of the half opportunity, and he finds his way to 8 targets.
Yep.
That's the way it has to work, because otherwise, trap zone. As I said a couple days ago, this is a trap zone for some of these backfields where you've got just too many guys and they're not good enough, right? This is not like, you know, Green Bay when they're cooking, or you know, Cleveland when they're cooking, or New England when they're cooking, where you can get 2 guys that can really contribute. This is one where too many cooks in the kitchen for this to be a really productive fantasy backfield.
I totally agree with you. There is just something to be said for the fact that in his first game back, he got that much usage. And I think that there is Brian Robinson specifically.
Yeah.
I would love it if he just, and this is nothing against J.D. McKissic as a player, Antonio Gibson just becomes the pass catching back.
Don't think it's going to happen.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It just, you love it, to.
Yeah.
It would be great.
Yeah, I hearken back to what happened this March when J.D. McKissic nearly was a Buffalo Bill, and then he said, you know what, I'm going back to Washington. And part of the reason why is because they love him. He loves being there. I'd be very surprised if J.D. McKissic ever gets phased out during the life of this 2-year contract.
Very hopeful in this game then, like you said, that we're talking game script and we get more rushes from Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson.
You need the Commanders to pound be up big, and they're going to pound it with those two backs. Yep. That's what you need.
That's what you're hoping for. What about these pass catchers? We like Curtis Samuel a little bit, actually quite a bit more this week. I have met wide receiver 21. You have met wide receiver 19. And Terry McLaurin, in spite of all of the usage that he is, he's still on the field a ton, but he is just not being utilized.
He's yet to be better than wide receiver 24 this year. It's so, so, so frustrating. That's, I've talked about this 9,000 times now. He's so good. He's amazing. He's an incredible talent who got paid $71 million this offseason on a 3-year contract. Clearly the guy is an absolute baller. Problem is, between the fact that they've got multiple pass catchers that are doing work this year, Curtis Samuel being one of them, Jahan Dotson when he was healthy, like between that and Carson Wentz being the roller coaster that Carson Wentz is, we haven't gotten it from Terry McLaurin. I'm hopeful, Daniel. Maybe I'm trying to reverse jinx him, but I've got him as wide receiver 39. If you can, I will be fading Terry McLaurin just based off the first 5 games. It's been really tough to watch.
It's tough to fault you with that. Also, because you're talking, I mean, not only has it been the bad first 5 games, but like we just said, game script in this game, it might not bear out. And if you're going to have a wide receiver involved, I would assume Curtis Samuel, with that short yardage, with the way that Carson Wentz is set up, is the guy that he would look at. So
I'm with you there. It's tough. It's tough, man. It's really, really tough to watch. Check out wide receiver cornerback matchup on ESPN Plus for more on this game specifically. We'll play a little game of me being Mike in a bit, but I don't get it. I don't get the Terry McLaurin thing, right?
How do you pay him that much money? You know,
and he's been really good in spite of quarterback play the past 3 years, right? So it's not like this is new territory. Hey, he's got a shaky quarterback, it's going to cause him to regress. No, like he's been playing with, I mean, it's like, look at Terry McLaurin's career quarterbacks. I believe it was Alex Smith to begin. Then he's had guys like Kyle Allen and Garrett Gilbert and Taylor Heinicke.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe?
Ryan Fitzpatrick for like a half, right? I mean, it's just so confusing that his 2022 season has unfolded the way that it has. Because, by the way, if you go look at where Carson Wentz ranks in terms of passing yards, fifth, I believe.
Yeah.
Fifth right now. And passing touchdowns, like, he's got some of those, too. This isn't like Chicago, where they don't have any yards or touchdowns.
The problem is he throws them to Jahan Dotson instead of Terry McLaurin.
And no Dotson tonight. Maybe that unlocks Terry McLaurin. I've been burned a couple too many times. I'm nervous.
All right. Which side are you taking in this game?
Well, first of all, you see what the number is?
I think it's 38.
38 points is the over-under. What's the over-under in Chiefs-Bills first half? 38? 39?
Yeah,
like, seriously. I'm taking the Bears tonight. How about you?
Ooh.
Yeah. I know it feels spicy, but...
It sort of does. No, I'm taking the Commanders.
Okay, there you have it. How good do you feel about it?
About the same that you feel for the Bears. Yeah,
you can hear the confidence in my voice here today as I pick the Chicago Bears. I think this Bears team is pretty gritty, though. And if they go to 3-2, I don't care how it looks.
You're right. Hey,
3-2 for a team that some people were saying could be the worst in the NFL. Like, that will be a good start 5 games into the Matt Eberflus coaching era in Chicago.
I'm with you. All right. We are going to do some live reads and come back and talk wide receiver cornerback matchups.
Here we are.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I'd love it.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with your homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Kick off your investing journey by exploring exchange-traded funds. Exchange-traded funds, known as ETFs for short, create baskets of stocks, bonds, and other assets that you can buy in a single trade, helping you avoid putting all of your hopes on a single draft pick. At Global X, we specialize in ETFs that track emerging technologies like the rise of electric vehicles and strategies designed to generate income. Visit globalxetfs.com to discover more.
All right, and with that, we have our Week 6 wide receiver cornerback matchup from Mike Clay Field. This is smarter than anything you do here at this company.
I know,
same
this
with
is
me.
Going to be awesome.
It's going to be great. You get to play this role. I'm really excited really to see cool. the thespian inside of you. All right. Cardinals get a plus matchup.
Yeah, they do.
Hollywood Brown, Rondale Moore, and A.J. Green taking on the Seattle Seahawks, who seem to just give up a ton of yards.
Every week. Right, so just a reminder, last week, with no Jameis Winston.
Yep.
No Michael Thomas.
Yep.
Chris Olave banged up for most of the game. I don't even know. Was there even a... Was Jarvis Landry active last week? I don't even think he was.
Whatever.
He didn't do much if he was, right? The Seahawks allowed 39 points last week. 39 points. They are the defensive matchup of all defensive matchups. And you might look at them and say, well, wait, hold on. They're allowing the fourth fewest wide points to wide receivers. And the second fewest to perimeter wide receivers. The problem is they've only faced 79 wide receiver targets so far this year. They've been playing a bunch of teams that have moved the football to great effect with tight ends, running backs, you name it. I mean, Taysom Hill had 4 touchdowns this past week, 3 on the ground and 1 through the air. And the Seahawks are allowing 8.8 yards per attempt. That's the most in the NFL. If you're going to throw the football vertically, you're going to have a chance against Seattle. Hollywood Brown's been incredible. He has 4 straight games with at least 10 targets. That's elite volume right there. That's the kind of volume you're looking for. And as we discussed a couple of days ago, we'll see what happens once they have DeAndre Hopkins back in the fold and he's eligible to return in Week 6. We expect him to do exactly that. But for now, at least one more day of Hollywood Brown being an elite player in an elite matchup against the Seattle Seahawks. By the way, Rondale Moore, not that far behind him either.
Yeah, I think you can trust Rondale Moore as a flex play this week, given this matchup as well. Field.
I've got him as wide receiver 24. You've got him as wide receiver 23. And here's the good news. Seattle has allowed the 6th most fantasy football points to the slot so far this season.
Oh, yeah.
So last week we saw Rondale Moore get more involved. He had, I think it was 7 catches for 68 yards. He got 2 carries as well. The Cardinals have a bunch of running back injuries. That's why they added Corey Clement. And also, who was it? Tyson Williams to the practice squad. They added 2 running backs to the practice squad yesterday, which could mean something for James Conner. We'll dive into that more tomorrow. But Rondale Moore capable of taking a handful of handoffs as well. This could be, he could be Curtis Samuel this week. Think of Rondale Moore in that same vein.
I like that. All right, let's move ahead and talk Saints and Bengals field. You just talked about how many points the New Orleans Saints just put up on the Seattle Seahawks last week in spite of the injuries that they had. What are the chances they do that again here against the Bengals secondary this
week? Well, it seems slim for a couple of reasons. Let's start with the fact that this is a bad matchup.
Yes. And
the Bengals, I think the Bengals defense is probably under-discussed and underrated only because they have so many great players on offense and it's easy to fixate on either the great part of the offense or the bad part of the offense. The great stuff is the quarterback, the pass catchers. The bad stuff is the offensive line, right? But we tend not to talk about the defense nearly enough, but they've got two players that are playing at a high level on the perimeter, Chidobe Awuzie, and also Eli Apple, who's kind of remade his career in Cincinnati after an, I would say, inconspicuous start earlier in his career that included time with the Giants and also the Saints. But the Bengals have allowed the fifth fewest points to opposing wide receivers and the fewest over expected. So, you know, they're kind of taking care of business as they should. And the third fewest points against the perimeter. So, as we all know, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, when they've played so far this year, both of them play on the perimeter. So they're going to draw a lot of these two players that have been playing at a high level for fantasy football purposes. And not to overlook the very important fact that it's uncertain whether Chris Olave or Michael Thomas plays on Sunday. We'll ask Shefty about that more.
Yep.
Would you be fading both of those players if you have him in your lineup, or would you still have to get him into your lineup?
Chris Olave has been playing well enough and has been getting volume from both Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton. It's not one of those things where, like, if Andy Dalton came in and all of a sudden started looking away, I might feel differently.
Right.
But I think there's still enough volume that as a flex play here with bye weeks here in week six, I could play him. I don't feel as great about it as I have in past matchups,
yeah,
but still a usable piece for me. Michael Thomas, a little bit more concerned for me this week.
Yeah, I would say that Olave has just been too good, and the types of throws that he is getting, if he plays, are too useful when you have Jameis Winston as your quarterback. Jameis did return to practice in a limited capacity yesterday, more from Shefty in just a little bit, that I would have a hard time benching Chris Olave and maybe Michael Thomas as well, to be honest with you. It's a roster construction standpoint. You've had to figure it out without Michael Thomas for couple weeks now, right?
Yep.
But again, more from Shefty in just a couple minutes here on those Saints and their potential availability.
I'm excited about this next game, Field Yates.
I can't wait.
Everybody is excited. Stephon Diggs, yep, Isaiah McKenzie, and Gabe Davis taking on the Kansas City Chiefs secondary. We are hoping that there are 600 points scored in this game.
Yeah.
And listen, the Bills secondary almost always feels like it's a plus matchup, or Bills wide receivers, just because they're so good.
Right.
But it actually is a plus matchup because of the secondary that they're facing this week, too.
Worth noting, by the way, that Isaiah McKenzie, part of this Bills receivers group, has clear concussion protocol fully. He's good to go. So you have Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie on Sunday in Arrowhead Stadium.
Ding. Ding.
Here are the three top Chiefs cornerbacks, at least so far. Rashad Fenton, Legarius Sneed, Jalen Watson. Watson's a seventh-round pick who had that big pick six against the Chargers back in week two.
Didn't I watch Rashad Fenton get burned on a...
He's a solid player. He's an okay player, not a dynamic player is how I would describe Rashad Fenton. The good news for the Chiefs is that they're going to get, most likely, Trent McDuffie, their first-round pick, back this week. He was designated to return from IR, which means he's eligible to play on Sunday. He looked really good early on in the season when he did play. It was a small sample size, but against Arizona, he looked really sharp. The Chiefs have allowed the seventh most points to wide receivers, the seventh most points to the perimeter, the ninth most points to the slot. And they've allowed the fifth most catches and third most touchdowns to wide receivers. Now, you may be saying, well, isn't that in part because they're playing with big leads frequently and teams are having to throw the football a ton against them because they don't want to slow it down because they can't slow it down? That's fair. The Bills are also the exception, right? Where, like, the Bills can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs offensively.
Yeah.
Heck, they might be a better offense than the Chiefs right now. They're at least in that same conversation. These feel like two of the best offenses in the world. So they can get what they want, when they want, against whomever they want. So you should never have trepidation in starting Stephon Diggs any single week. You should feel even better about it this week. Gabe Davis, you should feel confident in it this week. Isaiah McKenzie in a deeper league, if you really need a slot option, would be one. Doesn't it just feel like, though, like, let's just put aside the numbers, put aside the personnel. This is going to be a shootout, right? Like, you can't imagine this game being like 21-17, can you?
Here's what I imagine. tonight's game is going to go off for 70 points, and this game is going to be like 13-16.
No, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way.
That's how it, this
it's
is
gonna
how,
be. It's going to be an the absolute. It's going to be an old timer. It's going to be a great Thursday Sunday afternoon game. It's late window, 4:25. Yep. We're going to all be dialed in. We're going to get overtime because we deserve it. It's going to be absolutely electric.
I want it, Field Yates.
All right, so more to come with Shefty in just a moment, right, Daniel?
I think so.
Let's do that in just a second. But first, you start it off. Why don't you?
How about I start it off?
You do that.
The most wonderful time of year is upon us again. It's college football season. Mm. Dr. Pepper and the residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game day commentary. All washed down with a rich, delicious Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is always just around the corner, so make sure your tailgate doesn't turn into a failgate and pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve.
Make Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during their pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or their in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before kickoff. Pizza, pizza. Time now for our weekly visit with the great, dare I say, incomparable Adam Schefter. Schefty, good morning to you. How are you?
Pizza, pizza, Field. Pizza, yeah, pizza.
Pizza, pizza. It's always a good time for some Little Caesars. Schefty, a ton to get to this week.
Yeah.
As we all know, for the past couple of weeks, perhaps the story in the NFL has been the concussion protocols, which have recently been updated and is topical to Miami. What is the latest in terms of where they are at with their projected starting quarterback this week and also Tyreek Hill?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater's back on the field on a limited basis. Tua is back on a limited basis, still going through protocol. And the expected starter this week against the Minnesota Vikings is Skylar Thompson. Tyreek Hill ended the game last week in a walking boot. Obviously has to be problematic, but he was out there yesterday. And my understanding is he's going to be out there again Sunday playing for the Dolphins. And so this will be a little bit of a makeshift offense with Skylar Thompson playing quarterback, but that looks like the way it's going to go this week with Teddy Bridgewater coming out of concussion protocol, Tua Tagovailoa still in concussion protocol, and the Dolphins having a very strange couple of weeks here as they try to get things on track with their team captains taking the ping pong table out of the team's locker room. So I know that's going to do a lot of good there and get them back on track.
Yeah, it always isn't that always what unlocks greatness is taking the ping pong table out of the locker room. We talked about the Saints a little bit ago, Schefty, but we didn't have as much clarity on who might be available and who might not be available. Any early read on Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, and Chris Olave?
You know, here's the thing. First of all, Olave's coming out of the concussion protocol, and it seems like more and more you don't see players come back 1 week later from concussions. More and more. Now, we'll see what they do with him, but that would be the early guess. Michael Thomas, I was told last week, would be a go for this week. So, by the way, those two pieces would seem to fit together, right? No Olave, Michael Thomas back. As for quarterback, Andy Dalton played pretty well so far, and so maybe they stick with him. I know Jameis has been back limited. He's been really banged up. They've wanted to try to get him healthy again. I don't know where the quarterback situation is going to go just yet on Thursday. But again, Andy Dalton's played well. Jameis back limited. We'll see how they handle that.
Okay, a couple of early notes here in the week. We did not see Aaron Rodgers and Jonathan Taylor practicing for their respective teams yesterday. Would you say it is time to be concerned, or maybe just a little bit of patience would be useful here?
Well, I think in both cases, here's the deal. When a star player is not practicing on Wednesday, even if they come back today, it just tells you that they're not fully healthy. That's all. And so Aaron Rodgers took a big blow on the last play of the game last week, hurt his thumb. It was sore enough that he didn't practice yesterday. So they say it's not a big deal. He's expected to play on Sunday against the New York Jets. I'm sure the Jets would much rather get Jordan Love. I would guess, based on what they said, Aaron Rodgers is going to be out there right now. But that's why we track this on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday to just make sure that that is exactly what they say, which sometimes it is, as we know, and sometimes it isn't. And Jonathan Taylor, to me, anytime he's missing practice, that is a big deal because he never missed practice before. So if he's missing practice, it tells you he's not right. He's not healthy. It's a running back. It's an ankle. That's not encouraging. Maybe he'll make it back today in time for practice. We'll see. But the fact of the matter is he can't be 100% going into Sunday, even if he does play.
It's funny, Schefty, we call these guys like indescribably durable until they're not, right? That was a thing on Jonathan Taylor. He never misses games. Well, now he's missed a game, and all of a sudden he's Christian McCaffrey 2.0, McCaffrey in that same book.
For one week. I mean, it's
one
crazy.
Week, Shefty.
But
1 week. Yeah, that's how things go. It is. One more injury question, and then I want to get to the fun stuff here. You reported on Saturday about Russell Wilson, and obviously he is going through some shoulder discomfort. For those of us that are trying to find some optimism, should we believe that he's going to get better soon, or is he going to have to manage this for the season?
It's a great question. I spoke to Stefania for a long time about this on Saturday, and my understanding is it's a partially torn lat. I think it's affected him some, but let's also be honest. He suffered the injury in the second quarter of the Raiders game, and that day, despite the injury, still threw for 2 touchdowns and ran for another. So I think, again, when you're playing well, no, he's playing through it and he's doing all right. And when you're not, he's got that injury. How much is it influencing him? The fact of the matter is, whether he's got the partially torn lat, he has to do a better job of playing. The offense has to elevate its production. The coaching staff has to be better and sharper. There are a lot of things that have gone wrong with Denver outside of Russell Wilson's partially torn lat. And every game now is going to be a judgment on him and that coaching staff moving forward because they've been so bad so far, so early on. Now, we get to see him on Monday night. This is a little bit like a car crash. We know these two cars are coming. We're all going to be watching with great curiosity to see how these two teams fare because both have had their own issues this season. The Chargers on fourth down plays with the head coach going for it, Keenan Allen tweeting, deleting his tweet, questioning the head coach, the Broncos going through the offensive struggles that they are. We'll be happy to be there Monday night to see how this all shakes out between the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Your cross-country checks continue, Shefty. Is every Sunday you are seemingly on
a plane. They stink. Yes. You know, this past Sunday, Field, I got on my plane. I got on Delta Airlines. I'm going to say the name. I could care less, okay? Not to go all Ed Werder on you and everything, but I got on Delta Airlines at 3 o'clock, and there was no TVs on the plane, which, again, hit and miss. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. Regional airplane, got it. Yep. Well, we sit down. I paid for my Wi-Fi. It takes my credit card information. No Wi-Fi, not working. The flight attendant, very nice, says, I'm going to reset it. Great. Resets it, no Wi-Fi. Now I'm starting to get really angry because now we're getting to the end of the early window on the early games. We're getting ready for the afternoon game start. I got no idea what's going on, okay? They can't get it going. They reset the Wi-Fi. Never got the Wi-Fi going. Did take my money. Never got any Wi-Fi. For an hour and a half, I was furious. And then I finally say, there's nothing I could do. So for the first time in my 33 years of covering NFL games, I just took a nap during the end of the early games and the start of the late games. Yeah, went to sleep for 30 minutes.
That must be, I can't even imagine how that must have felt for you, Shefty. Here's the good news. LA this week, New England the following week. So you can drive up on Monday morning rather than
I'm driving to New England. LA we're flying. I'd like to think we're going to have TV, but I flew to Seattle this year earlier on. No TV. We flew to San Francisco. I am the biggest travel jinx going at the company. It's gotten to the point where all the producers, Matt Garrett and Greg Shapiro and the researchers, Jacob Nierob, and everything, they don't want to be on my flight, and I don't blame them. I don't want to be anywhere near me when we travel anywhere because I have the worst luck in the world. And so on my cross-country flight this week, again, Delta, okay, all I can tell you is if I don't have TV, I may go Ed Werder on social media. I'm just telling you right now.
My fingers are officially crossed. I hope you don't do that for your own well-being. I said last one, but I do have one more quick one before we get to your hoops draft. Devontae Adams, Shefty, we're still waiting to see whether or not he faces a possible punishment from the NFL. Seems like the winds are blowing that direction. Do you get the same sense or no?
Well, as somebody said to me yesterday, they said the more time that goes on, I know the Raiders are on a bye this week and they don't play till next week against Houston, but the more time that goes on that we don't get a decision from the NFL, the more time that tells you that they're really deliberating whether they should or shouldn't suspend him. I thought on Tuesday, okay, we're going to get a suspension here for Devontae Adams, and it didn't come Tuesday, and it didn't come Wednesday, and now here we are on Thursday, and I'm wondering whether we're going to get any suspension. Now we could, but it certainly sounds like the league is looking over a lot of different situations, and my guess, and it's just a guess right now, would be that it's more likely to fine him than suspend him, but will I be surprised if they suspend him later today? No.
Yeah, again, they're on a bye this week, so if they're going to suspend him, I guess they have the gift of time, but not too much time. This has obviously been hovering over the league since Monday night after the game. Now let's get to the fun stuff here, Shefty. Tuesday night, we had our NBA War Room League draft. You've had the number one pick in back-to-back years. Just by complete luck, you won the lottery. This year, you did not win the lottery. But how are you feeling? Because for those out there listening right now, when I tell you that there are a few things in life that mean as much to Adam Schefter as his NBA War Room League team, I am being serious. How's the squad looking?
Well, Field, let's just say this. Again, I have no life, right? There aren't many things that give me much pleasure. My fantasy basketball team is my vice and my outlet, you know. And so Mike Cambrary jokes all the time, like when I go to adjust the lineup, that's my cigarette break, being that I don't smoke. So I go take a cigarette break, look over the team, make a few moves on the basketball team. And we came out of the draft. I went in with certain ideas, picking in the sixth spot in a 14-team league where we revamped the league, which I still don't understand why we did that, and changed the whole scoring format. So I have no idea how this format is going to work this year. So I don't know exactly how my team will hold up with this style of play. We were so used to the nine categories that I loved and had gotten used to. And now we're changing it up and going, I think, to a head-to-head points basis.
That's correct.
Like, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't even know how to score it. So it's hard for me to tell you how I did. I just took players I like, and hopefully they will produce in this format. And it's so funny how you go into a draft with the sixth pick, and we did a third-round reversal, which I love. I think that we should do that and adopt that in the NBA or the ESPN NFL War Room draft next year. Where the team picking first doesn't get 128 and 29.
Right.
Or one, in our league, it'd be 132 and 33 because it's 16 teams.
Yes.
It should be 132 and then what, 48?
48, 49. Right? Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so I think that's a rule that we should adopt next year. I just think it brings a little more clarity. So anyway, I had the sixth pick. I had scouted out and done enough diligence to determine that LaMelo Ball was going to go five. We knew the first three picks in some sort of order were going to be Jokic, Greek, and Luka, which was what it was. Four turned out to be Embiid, of course. So I knew I was sitting there at six in that spot until LaMelo hurt his ankle the other night, and I wondered whether Eddie Marlette at number five would change his mind, but he didn't. He stayed with LaMelo. So I was in the spot I was looking at all along, and I decided on Jason Tatum over Damian Lillard, Karl Anthony Towns, and Kevin Durant. Those are the other guys I looked at. And then it was coming back around, picks 23 and 37. I was going to take Anthony Edwards at 23, and I was going to take Scottie Barnes at 37. Well, when we got to 23, to my surprise, DeJounte Murray was there, as was Anthony Edwards. Mm. And so I just decided, you know what, DeJounte Murray is a triple-double machine. Going to give him a run. We got to 37. Scottie Barnes was gone. But
yes,
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah,
see that? Donovan Mitchell, strangely enough, was there. And he was rated 49th or 50th in the ESPN system, which, again, I don't understand our format. I don't understand why that was the case. So my guy, Donovan Mitchell, who I like an awful lot as a person, he is now playing for purse horses with my third-round draft pick. Came back around, and then my big decision in the fourth round, man, there were four guards sitting there. Terry Rozier, Desmond Bain, C.J. McCollum, and Bradley Beal. I never would have thought all four of them would have been there at pick, I believe it was like 49. And I'm like, well, what do I do? And a guy that I lean on sometimes, he's like Terry Rozier. I'm like, I think I would have gone Desmond Bane. So we'll see this year how Rozier and Bane compare. The next two rounds, I loved my two picks. Okay. Tyrese Maxey at 62, Christian Wood at like 79. Love those two picks.
Shefty, Maxey's
going to be an all-star. Memorized.
Yeah, you are Mel Kiper Jr. right now.
That's unreal.
This is like, you know, I'll say like Mel Kiper, I'll make a reference to like a, you know, like a Chiefs sixth round pick. And he'll be like, yeah, I remember his dad scouting him in Eastern Michigan back in 1982, ran a 4.25 40 at the four at the combine, has 84 catches during his first three seasons. Like,
now. I could tell you my NBA draft just like that as well. Then we went back to Trey Jones. We took Jaren Jackson Jr., stashed him on IR, came back around. Al Horford was there. So we just decided, you know what? It's a little later, but some steadiness in a draft full of upside. Came back around and took Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City, the shooting guard.
One of the two,
And we wrapped up with Trey Murphy in New Orleans. And so I may have missed a player, but that's pretty much the draft right there.
That
and I'm
is
waiting
tremendous.
To make a move. The ESPN system's frozen right now.
Yes,
they
it
do
is.
Not have an O designation on Jaren Jackson Jr. I've already been bothering the engineers this morning. Can we get my guy the O so I can make a move and fill up my roster? I mean, what are we doing here?
You know, Shefty,
I want to make the first move of the War Room League here.
Well,
it's only fitting.
It would only be appropriate for you to make that first move. You know, there was an old saying from the great John Wooden, do not confuse activity with achievement. That is not the case, because over the course of the NBA War Room League, Shefty has made thousands of more moves than the next closest person and been the most dominant team during the history of that league. So that's good stuff right there, Shefty. I knew I could get you going on that. I guess we'll talk football next week. Maybe basketball. I'm not even sure at this point.
You know what? I'm happy to turn this into a football basketball segment. And if you want to bring golf into it as well, they got a tournament going in Japan that we were up late watching last night. Tyrrell Hatton shoots a quad and then birdies the next three holes. How could that be?
You are unbelievable. I love this. This is amazing, Shefty. Thank you. This is so great. I now know that I can ask you about literally anything. Sport on Thursdays going forward, but this was awesome.
No. We absolutely can do football and basketball if that's what the viewers and listeners want to do. I mean, I am thrilled to be talking fantasy basketball all the time. I know how much my wife enjoys it. I figure the audience would as well.
Of course. I can only imagine dinners at the Schefter household must be great. Shefty, you are the best. We thank you sincerely, and good luck this weekend in NFL War Room and then next week in NBA War Room as well.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
You know, we can't wait.
I kind of given up on the NFL already, and I'm on to NBA right now.
Yeah, we are also on to the NBA and the Yates household as far as the NFL War Room League is concerned. All right, Shefty, we'll talk to you again
in a week. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That was epic.
Adam is literally Amon-Ra St. Brown reciting every wide receiver that was drafted before him.
I know my first two picks, and I can't remember beyond that.
No.
I went Ja Morant, Rudy Gobert. Oh, Drew Holiday. That was my third pick. I have no clue who I have besides that on my team.
I took Trae Young and Cade Cunningham. I got three Pistons on my team, so I know that I'm going to be good this year.
That was hilarious. By the way, he is a machine.
Your Mel Kiper cadence was pretty good.
Well, we spent a lot of time with Mel, as you know, during it. I can't wait for the first draft podcast. You and I know this, so Mel Kiper, we'll have an outline. Next thing you know, we're on the most tangent of tangents of all time.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it going.
Let's talk about some game previews here for week six to close out the show. We've got three games already.
Let's rip through them, because I think it's important that we get these games covered. And one note that you and I remind people of every week, but if there's a major injury that either crops up between now and tomorrow, or we didn't do a good enough job accounting for today, we'll make sure that we account for it tomorrow.
Yep, exactly. All right, we're talking Patriots and Browns here for this first one. Lineup locks include Ramondre Stevenson and Nick Chubb. Reminder, Stevenson, a lineup lock field because Damian Harris is going to miss this game. Actually going to miss a couple of weeks.
We expect that to be the case. He did practice yesterday, so people are like, wait, hold on, I thought he was out. We'll see. You know, sometimes guys do practice, right? But they're just basically out there for, you know, you're not in a spot to be able to play, it's like conditioning. And some guys want to be out there with their teammates. So we see this every week. Guys do practice and then not play. My presumption is that it will not be Damian Harris this weekend. I think that Pierre Strong steps into that number two running back role. But you're right, Daniel. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, who we've been talking about all week, is going to be the guy, and it's hard not to have a really compelling case for starting him. Again, 440 rushing yards allowed by the Browns over the past 2 weeks. Let me ask you a question, though.
Yep.
What's the case against Jacoby Myers as a lineup lock?
It would probably only be Bailey Zappe for me. Like if I think that maybe, kind of like we talked about with the Thursday Night Football game, if we think that this is going to become a ground and pound game where they don't want to use Bailey Zappe to throw the football, I think maybe that would be the case for me. But Jacoby Myers has been so good and efficient in his healthy games. He's sort of worked his way into a flex spot regardless of who's under the center.
Yeah, maybe even better than that. He's wide receiver 10 the three games that he's played this season.
Wow, that's
so you would not think that, right? But he's averaging like 80-plus receiving yards in those three games. Over his past 2 weeks, he has 16 catches for 206 yards and a touchdown for Jacoby Myers. So there's probably, I have him as wide receiver 23. I might be too low on Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. Let's talk Kareem Hunt, too. And I think this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have him ranked as running back 24 basically across the board, you, Mike, and I. He's a flex play for us here with bye weeks coming up. Someone you don't have a ton of confidence in, right? Because Nick Chubb is the guy in this offense. But when you're talking bye weeks, you need guys that are going to be out there on the field. And to that point, two players in the NFL have 40 rushing yards and two catches in all five games, meaning there are two players in the NFL that are both involved in the passing game every single week and is still involved in the rushing game enough that 40 yards you can almost bank 6 fantasy points for Kareem Hunt as his floor.
Yeah.
And I think that if you need it, again, this is a flex play here for you. It's a spot where you can start him this week.
Yeah, so reasonable floor, low ceiling, it feels like, because of the way that Nick Chubb's playing right now, right? If you're Cleveland, what are you going to take carries away from Nick Chubb? The answer is no way. So Kareem Hunt probably needs a goal line opportunity to really pay off for some upside here, but I've got him as RB24, so a flex consideration this week.
A floor play there. What about the pass catchers here? Because we watched... I don't know. Was I watching the game with you? I was watching it with Mike last week. So
yeah.
Amari Cooper, home games, has just absolutely crushed
Smashed.
It, right? Just every single home game. He has another home game this week. 3 straight top 10 finishes in all 3 of his home games this year. Now, that's not sustainable.
It's not. I don't know if it's like a real factor, but it's interesting. Like 2 weeks ago before the game that he was a dud on the road against Atlanta, I made the declaration a little bit too... perhaps heavy-handedly, being like, yeah, you just play Amari Cooper, right? You just do it because you're going to potentially get some really good stuff or you're going to get some not-so-good stuff. And I was more optimistic in my tone than I should have been. But again, like, you just kind of play him, right? So beyond Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones is the only other wide receiver that's made really an impact at all this year for the Browns.
Yep.
But that's been inconsistent. David Njoku, who we'll talk about in a second, has been really good. But I think Jacoby Brissett's been good enough. Amari Cooper's talented enough that maybe I was onto the right track when I said that 2 weeks ago. I just was too confident that you'd get more better weeks than worse weeks. Because 3 top 10 finishes out of 5? Like, how is that different than what we're talking about with Mike Williams?
I was just going to say that. Like, if you have a guy that 3 out of the last 5 weeks finished inside the top 10, that means that they probably helped you, at least pushed you into a potential victory situation in 3 of those 5 weeks. How can you be upset about it?
I'd take 1 top 10 for Terry McLaurin at this point,
dude,
right?
Stop. So, yes, I'm totally with you. Yeah. I still think he's a flex play here this week because of all the things that he can potentially be. And that home narrative is just, I mean... I want it to continue. I just want it so that we have a home narrative for Amari Cooper every single time he plays.
The Matt Ryan of wide receivers.
Right.
Oh, no, it was Big Ben. That was the weirdest one, but yes.
What about David Njoku?
He's a lineup lock.
Yeah.
I've had him as tight end 5 this week. He's got at least 5 targets in 4 straight games. He's a big play threat. That much is for sure. Tight ends are really hard to find. He's looked apart. It's been the breakout year-ish for David Njoku. Bill Belichick called him this yesterday, and I don't know that he's wrong. He said this is the 2nd best tight end in Browns history beyond Ozzie Newsome, which
wow.
I don't know if they've necessarily, it's not like they've had, you know, a bunch of Gronks and Bavaros and Kelsey's along the way, but still, like,
yeah,
high praise there from Bill Belichick, who, as you may know, has a lot of history with the Browns. He knows that organization's history pretty well.
Bill's getting kind of soft in his old age, talking nicely about David Njoku and Ramondre Stevenson.
He's gonna be talking about fantasy football soon enough.
Buying Christmas presents for everybody. All right, let's talk Panthers and Rams next. I think this one lineup blocks are pretty easy.
Last thing on the Patriots Browns.
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
We don't know about Mac Jones yet. I know you talked about Bailey Zappe. I don't know that it makes not to say that Mac Jones is a better player than Bailey Zappe, no doubt about that,
totally.
Right?
Yes.
But like, we saw Jacoby Myers with Bailey Zappe. It was totally fine. Like, my view of Jacoby Myers does not change dramatically regardless of who is playing quarterback.
Agreed.
Today.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. All right. Panthers at the Rams. Lineup locks for this game include Christian McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp, and Tyler Higbee.
Yeah. And if you saw Cooper Kupp pop up on the injury report on Wednesday, maybe Tyler Higbee as well. Both of them, precautionary reasons, nothing to see here. They're just on there because of rest, basically. Sean McVay downplayed them. But still, for those of you that maybe got a notification on the app or whatever it is, don't be too concerned there. But I agree, all 3 of those players are locks.
The pass catcher under center, the starting signal caller for the Carolina Panthers, Field Yates?
Yeah. Walker time, baby.
We're going to have PJ Walker. And the way that obviously we still have CMC, I mean, he's CMC, you're starting him.
But yeah,
we have been waiting for a reason, waiting for an excuse, waiting for something that gives us hope that maybe this is a week we'd start DJ Moore.
I mean, I don't know this, you know, it's like, what do you say here? So, love PJ Walker as a story. He was awesome back the XFL in the day, like fun, cool to see him thrive, but you know, 3rd string quarterback for a reason here. It's tough. it's tough right now in Carolina. And I guess the only way that things maybe change, and this is a big stretch here, Daniel, is just the idea that sometimes like a new coach brings new energy and players play a little bit above their or punch a bit above their weight the first game under an interim head coach. But I'm grasping for straws here when I say that, right?
We're all, I mean, that's what every fantasy manager is doing with DJ Moore. It's like, what's the silver lining that I can grab onto where maybe.
What's his upside? 60 receiving yards.
There isn't one.
He hasn't even hit 60 receiving yards in a game this year.
Which is how, like, so this is the thing. Even with bad quarterback play before, this is sort of like the Terry McLaurin thing.
Yeah.
He's still a great wide receiver. Like, what's going on in this offense where they can't even get him the football?
I think I mentioned Adam Levitan yesterday. Go follow him and Evan Silva. They do an amazing job at establishing the run. They're just absolute legends. But I think it was Levitan who tweeted a while back about how just like running backs are about ability, wide receivers are about quarterback play, right? And that may not have been the exact tweet. I'm paraphrasing. And if I totally screwed that up, my bad, dude. I still love you. I still love the site. But it's true, right? Like, think about how dependent upon quarterbacks, wide receivers can be. DJ Moore is just like, it's a sad face right now. It's a sad face emoji thinking about the Carolina Panthers passing game. PJ Walker, like, maybe there's some optimism, but I don't know why I should feel it.
Yeah.
I've got this wide receiver 31.
I think rather than the sad face emoji, it's the flipping over the table emoji for him. Because it's just, you're so frustrated because you know he's so good.
If I were a Bills fan, I would jump through the table just because it'd be cool to do. If I were a Panthers fan, I would jump through a table because I'd be so mad.
I'd be so frustrated right now. All right. What if you were a Rams fan and you also drafted Matthew Stafford to be your starting fantasy quarterback?
Yeah, the lead of field pass this week is what the heck has happened to the Rams? Okay, so let's talk about this, Daniel. So
field pass available on ESPN Plus.
Yes, it is now available every Thursday as it is. What has happened to them? So last year, if you were a total quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end points scored by every NFL team, the Rams had the sixth most. That's really fantasy friendly. Right now, they're 21st most. I shudder to think where that number would be without Cooper Kupp, but it's bad. Matthew Stafford is 32nd in fantasy points per game right now amongst quarterbacks. 32nd. And I don't know what the reasons for optimism are right now. The offensive line is a total mess. Do you realize that they are fourth worst in scoring right now?
Fourth worst?
I actually pulled up like four stats yesterday. I have them here. Let me see if I can get the numbers that you're like, wait, hold on. They are averaging 16 total points per game. The Rams, 16 points per game.
That's awful.
How about this? So Rams are 29th in scoring.
Okay.
Tied for the most sacks allowed in the league.
Okay.
They have the second most turnovers in the league. Stafford leads the NFL interceptions.
Yeah.
You're not playing Matthew Stafford this week.
He has more interceptions than touchdowns. It's
six touchdowns, nine interceptions.
Yeah.
This Panthers defense is good. Like, I know the Panthers are a mess right now, but it's because of the offense, not the defense, right? Defensive front is good. They should be able to generate pressure against the Rams offensive line that has more injuries this week. They're a mess. I've got Stafford as quarterback 17. Again, there's only 28 quarterbacks this week, and there are some quarterbacks that we're totally uncertain about whether they'll be available or not this upcoming Sunday.
Cam Akers, field. His best finish is running back 30.
Yeah, I'm out of this business. I'd like to be out of this business if I could.
Altogether, Rams running backs.
I'd like to be.
The only people on the Rams that I'm starting are Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. There's almost no point in talking about anyone else right now.
So last year, what we talked about was like when Sean McVay had a guy, he had a guy.
Yep.
The first like weeks 1 through 12 last year with a game missed due to injury in between, Daryl Henderson was the guy. He averaged 15.7 fantasy points. The final six games of the regular season, Sony Michel was the guy. He averaged over 15 fantasy points per game. That's not the case this year because it's not just one guy. Even if recently it's been more Akers than Henderson, Henderson's actually getting passing game utilization. Henderson's outscoring Cam Akers, 7.7 fantasy points to 4.4 fantasy points per game. If you can get out of this business, get out of this business right now.
That's awful. I'm totally with you.
Play Cooper Kupp.
Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, Life happens live, and this week's hot ticket is the NFC East Sunday Nighter in Philadelphia.
I can't wait for this one.
Cowboys at Eagles. I am pumped. 4-1 Dallas Cowboys taking on a 5-0 Eagles team, and that Eagles offense has looked great. I think this is going to be probably the toughest defense they've taken on so far this year.
By far.
And a divisional matchup, which always makes things even more exciting.
Absolutely.
Lineup locks. CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert. I basically listed the entire Eagles offense awesome. Right there, yeah. Which is fantastic. Outside of CeeDee Lamb, let's talk about the running backs for the Cowboys, because Ezekiel Elliott, season high 22 carries last week. You like to be able to see that volume, but he has not been efficient when he has gotten his touches field.
So he had 22 carries last week. Was he a top 25 running back?
He
was not.
Was not.
He was not. I mean, again, we've been talking about this all season now. He's got no juice, man. He's got no juice. And while Cooper Rush has been amazing given the circumstances, teams are still going to bear down on that box and say, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us by running for 200 yards, not throwing for 300 yards. So that's definitely part of the reason why Zeke's efficiency has been particularly poor. I've got him as running back 26 this week. He's a flex consideration. He's getting a lot of volume. He could find the end zone, but he's basically a zero in the passing game. And Tony Pollard is clearly the more explosive back here.
Clearly. And it's so frustrating because I want to rank him higher, but it's just, it's,
but you can't do it, right?
They're not going to utilize him like that.
It's going to be the Zeke show. Yep. And you know something? We can talk about the stubbornness that we may think the Cowboys have. They're 4-1, man. And you can say, and I'm not here trying to say that the reason why they're 4-1 is because Zeke has been like, you know, these put them on their shoulders. The reason why they're 4-1 is because their defense rules and Micah Parsons is unblockable right now, right?
Yeah.
But I think when things are going pretty well on the whole for your team, you're just that much less likely to shake things up in a meaningful way, which is why I think that, again, it'll be Zeke with some Tony Pollard, but it'll be mostly Zeke, which is why he's in the flex consideration against a tough Philly defense, really tough.
I got to say this too, like when they're 4-1 without their star quarterback and Dak Prescott, I am in no rush. And I realize I'm not Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Dr. Jerry Jones.
Yeah,
sorry,
doctor, yeah.
Dr. Jerry Jones. But I have no rush in bringing Dak Prescott back with the way that Cooper Rush has been playing under center. He has not been unbelievable to my wide receivers from a fantasy perspective outside of CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Like, he is the guy. So Michael Gallup, Dalton Schultz, like those guys, I don't have as much confidence in until we see Dak Prescott back under center. But I don't think I would, like, I'm not in a rush to change things, which sucks for us from a fantasy perspective.
Yep.
But to your point, from an NFL perspective, why do anything different?
I don't know. Well, here's the reason why is Sunday night could be humbling.
Hey, hopefully.
If the Eagles just run roughshod over the Cowboys, then all of a sudden it's going to be like, all right, hold on now. This has been cute. This has been fun and
well,
all that.
Well, Dak comes back next week.
Dak is back in week 7. And maybe he would be regardless. Maybe even if they win, he'd be back. Who knows? But they have been able to scrape by. But again, Cooper Kupp, I keep saying it, Cooper Rush has been awesome given the circumstances.
Yes.
But the defense is really what has been carrying the heavier load over these past 4 weeks.
This week, Philadelphia Eagles. Next week, he gets the Detroit Lions. And the Chicago Bears the week after that.
Cowboys could easily, so you're telling me, is the Cowboys could certainly be 6-2 after the next three games. It could be even 7-1.
Even if things go poorly in this game, you got to imagine those next two are pretty easy. Dak can come back. We'll see how things work out.
Yeah, last player that I want to mention, because you can make a pretty strong case for him as a lineup lock, is Devontae Smith. Goes over the past 4 weeks, his target share is 27.8.
That's huge.
27.8%. And a Jalen Hurts-led offense right now, that's massive. I know it was really ugly in week one when he had a 10% target share and had zero catches, but a nearly 28% target share since then. Too good to ignore. I've got him inside my top 30 for wide receivers this week.
Same here. I think that he is, man. Do you think that he's somebody that you could, I don't want to say buy low on. It's really tough right now. Trading is tough this year because of so much just craziness and variance across the league.
Totally agree. I mean, And I'm going to end the show on this note.
Yeah,
I agree with
it.
You on this. One thing to keep in mind for fantasy football trades is that there are things in life in which you can trade four quarters for a dollar, right? Very rarely does that work in fantasy football. Very rarely, right? Like, yep. I've been on the receiving end of some trade offers where it's like, I'm coming for your star for a player of much less value at the position, and then a guy who's like not that important, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're flotsam, you're extra fat on your roster does not appeal to me. Right. Even if you think that like, oh, look, if you were to add these three players together, they score 15 fantasy points per game. That means that you should be interested in trading away your 15 fantasy points per game running back to me. Doesn't work that way, folks. And I've seen a lot of that recently. So I'm with you. The root of it is this: how weird this season has been.
Well, I was looking at and writing fantasy improv this week. We were talking about running backs, and I think Josh Jacobs is running back 13 on the year, and like Damian Pierce might be running back for something like that. Where you're like, you look at these two guys who have been really great the last couple of weeks, and do you look at potentially selling high? And it's like, how do you sell high on a running back that's a top 15 guy when running backs are so bad this year?
Right.
So. You know, just something to think about. Not that you don't trade. Always go out and try and make trades.
It's fun. It's a dance,
you know, but it's this year has been tough with the way that things have worked out.
I'll say.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Stefania will be here to break down all of the injury analysis that you need heading into week 6 for Field. My name's Daniel. We love you guys. Check out CSS DFS in the audio feed a little bit later. We'll see you Friday.
Bears 19, Commanders 17.
Stop it.
That's the answer. So that's, pound the under.
No.
That's the answer.
I want it to be 106 points.
But do you have any confidence in that?
No, I don't have confidence in that.
Okay. Well, I like to be realistic.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact. He's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.